Let me make one kind of announcement before we get going here and get ramped up. In the back, there's a table back there. And so this is just, in fact, I told Mike during the welcome to do this. We need some help in our, it's the summer in July. We need help. We need help in our stars. Erica needs about 8 people in stars. We need nursery workers. We need junior stars. We need, you can be just a helper. You can be a teacher. You can be, it's so easy. And it's interesting that when we say we need people to volunteer, who are committed to volunteering, it's not like we're asking people to go beyond that. Most times we're asking to serve once a month, one service a month, not even asking to do 2 services. So we talk about dry bones. Some of you have dry bones when it comes to serving God in our church. And those who are serving are giggling because they're serving. But some of you need to step out of your slumber and say, hey, listen, I can help Erica. I can just be there for body control for our stars. I can help Birdie and Junior Stars and Darla and that. We need nursery workers, all the things we need. So I'm challenging our YAG group, our YAG. That's what I call them because they don't have a name. They won't come up with a name because they're millennials and they don't like names. I call them YAGs, young adult group, okay? YAGs, okay? So I'm challenging our YAG. You are sitting on your holy posteriors and you need to be serving, okay? So some of you YAG guys and gals say, hey, I will volunteer. I'm going to go back there. So I want you to sign up at that table. I'm going to be back at that table. So if you need, our nursery, our stars, our junior stars, in every way, prayer partners as well for people who pray after service. So I'm just putting the challenge out there. I'd like to get every spot that they've showed me that we need filled today. And then I will contact you. I will contact you. Not somebody else. I personally will contact everybody that signs up there, let you know we're putting you on the schedule and getting that all that set up. So appreciate that as well. Mike, would you also find another piece of paper back there, or Jordan, whoever's doing that? And I want worship team people. So if there's people out here, like I just talked to Susie. You're in here someplace. Raise your hand wherever you're at. Where are you, Susie? Way over there. Susie said that, man, she used to do music. She used to sing and different things. Okay, we need people up here. You don't have to hold a mic. I mean, you can sit here. We want people to worship. Whether you sing, you don't have to sing well. We may not ask you to sing very loud. but the issue is we want you to draw people into worship. And so even put a piece of paper back there, say, hey, contact me about worship team. We'll do that as well. All right? So that's all that. All right, this morning, obviously we have a change going on. So around your table, first off, you're now going to be talking to your table. So you who have chairs looking at me, you turn them around. You're now talking to your table. This is your life group. I was going to put a piece of paper on your table, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you start talking, okay? This is just like life group. Some of you start immediately talking. Okay. All right, Mike, Matt, Russ, there's nobody alone, right? I'm trusting you because I can't see you real well out there. You guys got everybody covered, right? All right, now listen. I was going to put a blank paper on your table and let you determine, oh, Ramon and Sherry are by themselves. Ramon and Sherry, you got to join a group. You got to join a group right there. Turn, hey, Mike, right? We'll put all of them together. Okay, doesn't matter. All right, I was going to put a piece of paper on you, and you have to determine where you were at, whether your life was on the beach or whether it's by the pool in the backyard or with a cat or wherever you're at, but we're not going to do that. I'm going to have you draw that. That was your ambiance. That's where you're at this morning, okay? So in life groups, what it's really about, there's relational issues and then there's study issues. And there's, man, getting to know people, getting to know what the support that's needed and where it's at, as well as the study. So this morning, we're going to jump somewhat. If there's someone in your group that you don't know, right now you have 13.2 seconds to introduce to somebody. If you don't know somebody in your group, right now. Now you can start talking. If somebody in your group you do not know, introduce yourself to them right now. All right, that's enough. You don't need to get to know them that well yet, okay? All right, last week we talked about, we're doing a study on knowing God. We're doing a study about what it means to know God. And in that study of knowing God, many times people add rules and they add things. We talked about that from the issue of legalism, from the issue of we add stuff to what God says. So the first question that you're going to talk about and you only have a short time to do this because we're moving, is what rules do people add to what God has already said? So if you were here last week, what are the things that we add to what God has already said? I told you, example, like in our church that I grew up, you weren't wearing Birkenstocks. Guy got kicked out for wearing Birkenstocks, okay? So you, what are the rules? Talk about the rules that either you know or you've heard of where if you're going to be a good Christian, you got to do this, but they really may not square with what God says. So what are the rules? What are the rules that people add that God has already said? Go, yeah, 30 seconds, go. All right, as you continue talking, add this to the conversation. Why do some people like the list? Why do some people like a firm list of rules? Think about it. Why do some people enjoy that list? Why do they like a list? Go ahead, talk. If you're stuck, raise your hand. Russ is here. Where's Matt? There's Mike, Matt, someplace, or Jordan. I don't see Matt. You're on. Raise your hand. If your group is stuck, raise your hand, and they're going to come. There's Matt right there. Oh, but you're in a group. That's okay. All right. All right. Now, listen. Okay, turn me down. I'm bouncing off myself here, which is not hard to do. I surround myself. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, listen. One of the lessons that we looked at was about maturity. Maturity is not exercising your liberty or freedom in Christ. That's not maturity. It's knowing when self-restraint is needed, when your action may not be constructive or beneficial to the building up of others. We talked about that last week, that yes, it's capitalism. I have the freedom to do whatever. So for example, I realize some people have a major issue with alcohol. I have the freedom to drink alcohol if I so desire. If they could create one that I would enjoy and like, I would drink it. But I've never found one. Don't try to convince me, okay? I just don't know. I just don't like it. Maybe the stuff that he turned into wine in there at the first wedding, I might have liked, maybe. I doubt it. It's Jesus, sorry. Okay, quality control. I know. But it's not a spiritual issue. Now, for some it is, because some of you have no switch when to turn it off. And therefore, you need to turn it off completely. Stay completely away from it, okay? Self-restraint. But I may not have a problem with it. But maturity isn't knowing that I have the freedom to do whatever I want to do. We looked at that. Remember, we looked explicitly at it. I can do whatever I want to do. If I want to go do this, I can go do that, I can do this. But maturity is knowing when to self-restrain for the benefit. Does it benefit others? Is it constructive to others? We looked at the fact that there's one way to respond to believers, that are the weaker brothers. Some of you need to grow up and quit being the continual proverbial weaker brother. But we also looked at the fact of how do we respond to the unbeliever. Okay, so that point that we made, last question here before we watch the video. What do you feel it means to exercise your faith? All right, you have 30 seconds here, then we're right on the money. What do you feel it means to exercise your faith? Go. What does it mean to exercise your faith? Marvel, we're going video next. Did I write that to you? You had that? If you are stuck, raise your hand and one of these guys will come to you. What does it mean to exercise your faith? Good, man. All right, what we're going to do here in just a moment, we're going to cut the lights down. We're going to watch a video. The video is by Larry Osborne. It's Contrarian's Guide to Knowing God. If you are have not been involved with Right Now Media, you can do so. One other thing that I must clarify, because Dee Dee thought that they were just table ornaments, is those are real muffins that you may eat. Dee Dee, you may eat a muffin. I give you permission. They're not just there as table ornaments. You already had one? Then no more. You're past your limit, okay? All right. So, but we're watching a video on Contrarian's Guide to Knowing God. I want you to listen because we're talking about the issue of faith and rules and passion and where do we not need and what do we do need. So take notes if you want, but pay attention. Here's Larry Osborne on the Contrarian's Guide to Knowing God. How do you feel when people tell you, and I want you to talk around your table here, how do you feel when people tell you you just need more faith? What does that make you feel? What does it say to you? Okay, the person whose birthday is closest to today starts. How does it make you feel when you hear you just need more faith? Person whose birthday is closest to today start, or anybody who wants to jump in. You have questions? Raise your hand. There's Jordan, there's Matt, Mike. They'll help you. How does it feel when somebody tells you you just need more faith? Right, around your group, how did he define faith? In your group, how did he define faith? Somebody around your group, remember how he defined it? Two words. We're going to look at that. Two words. How did he define faith? Somebody in your group, do they remember? Go ahead, talk about it. Is there anybody who's stumped? Raise your hand if you're stumped. I'm going to give you a big hint right now. Already, he defined faith as simple obedience. Okay, he defined faith as simple obedience. I want you to talk about obedience. Is it ever simple? Simple obedience. Tell me what's simple about it. Talk about it around your table. What does simple obedience really mean? Simple obedience. All right, next question. Can one doubt and still exercise faith? Can one doubt and still exercise faith? I realize that's a yes or no question. That's terrible for small groups, but you're going to explain why you feel you can have exercise faith and yes or no whether you have doubts. Can you have doubts and still exercise faith? If you need help, raise your hand. Rush. Oh, well, some of them are already doing stuff. There's Matt right up here if you need help. Can you have doubts and exercise faith? All right, let's focus on a verse here. He listed Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. This is about the three guys, the three dudes he said in the Hebrew. That's in the Hebrew. And they responded to King Nebuchadnezzar and those who were against him. He said, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from it, us from your majesty's hand. Either way, he was going to be delivered from King Nebuchadnezzar's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, obviously, I don't think anybody would just approach the fiery furnace in our life for the storms of our life. I mean, I think maybe, let me just speak personally to me. Are there times of great doubt, yet I know what I need to do? Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, the exercise of my faith really is when you move in spite of your doubt. In spite of saying, God, this is obedience. I don't know. There's some things that may be simply obedient, but sometimes I don't know many things that are just really easy obedience when it comes to following God. The simplest thing is to pray. How many of us do it the way we need to or often, or what do we do? It's simple, but do we do it? To be in the Word, it's very simple to open God's Word and be in it, but do we do it? Obedience takes a commitment. We're talking about that in our warrior work with men. By the way, here's a plug. Warrior work, Monday nights, 5:30. We're talking about the fact that this last week we looked at the fact it takes a decision on our part as men to do the disciplines that it needs to be done. God's not going to force it upon us. And the same is true when it comes. Sometimes we have to just step. And those three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew that one way or another, I almost said my shack, your shack, and a bungalow, because I grew up that way. Sorry. You know, now I have said it. But they knew that they were going to be delivered one way or another, that God's plan was perfect. We talk about what faith is. What does it mean to walk by faith? We have this issue that is something like this cloud of what faith is. But really, walking by faith is simply considering God. It's not some formula. It's not some magic. It's not that something that's out there that's hidden that you can't. It is that in every step we take, do we consider God? Do we consider what God has said and what he has done? Do we consider God, how he wants us to respond? And so even, yeah, we can have doubts and say, God, I don't know where this is going. In fact, isn't that what we've looked at in the past? Real trust is when we say, we're going to trust you no matter what the outcome is. We know we need to do this. No matter what the outcome is, we are going to trust you. And that is the faith. And he closed by saying faith is really loving God and loving others and then responding accordingly. Now, why do we push the life groups? I enjoy this. I hope you've enjoyed it around your table. Some of you have met new people. But if you were in a life group where you have the chance to really tear this apart, this is personal to perhaps where do we need to pray for you? Where are the issues in your life that we need to pray for that you need to exercise faith? Where is it that you're doubting that maybe God has something that we can help you with? And the issue of life groups is where you can take this apart, not in the 30 minutes that we've just done, actually 27 minutes that we've just done. But you can spend time and you can look and you can pray for one another and talk about that and talk about times when we just feel weak. At times we need the strength and the support of the Lord and of each other, of God's family. So next week we start signing up for life groups. For some, you will say, yeah, obedience is simple. Is it? Sign up. Sign up. You know, those are all the life groups who are clapping, the life group leaders' phrase. Yeah, sign up, baby! Okay. Listen, you guys know our church is built on the foundation of life groups. That is where care and concern is communicated. That is where the family of God comes together. Why do we harp it? We have people, yes, I will blame Mike on this, even though I'm part of this. We have people, honestly, who have left our church because we will not ever stop saying, you need to be in a life group. And last week you heard Becky Tyrell, well, in the service say, I went to life group because Mike nagged me enough. We're going to. We want you to be involved, just like we want you to be involved in service. We want you to be involved in the service of the church. And you are more ministered unto by ministering. You are more ministered unto by serving. And so even today, as you can sign up to serve, say one Sunday a month or whatever, one service a month, I want to serve, whether it be prayer team or music or our stars needs help and our nursery needs help. You know, man, we need, those poor people have worked and worked and worked, and we need to help them in that process. But we'll start signing up for next week. Now listen, some of you, I know immediately you're going to say, well, I'm just going to sign up for the same life group I was in. Great, that's fine. You can do that. Did you hear what I just said? You can do that. Nobody's, don't suffer this. I know I'm soon to be dead if I tell you can't, because some of you love your groups. However, I challenge some of you who may say, I'm going to change, and I want to know a new group of people. I want to see a new group of people, a new leader. I want to, or a different night, or whatever it may feel. So you have the freedom to change. You're not stuck in the group you're in. At all. You can change. I encourage you to do so. But if you want to go back to where that group is, that's family, I understand that too. And if you're not in any group at all, I would encourage you to do that as well, to sign up and to be in a group. Just take that step. The first session out, when we go the first, you don't have to worry about what the topic is, because the first segment together, all of our life groups will be doing the same topic. Matt's in charge of our life groups. It'll be all of the same topic from there. So the decision is easy. What night do you want to go? Really, that's what the easiest thing to do. I hope today will encourage you to say, I need to be involved. But I also hope that you won't miss the word today. I mean, we need to live by faith. And that means there's times we doubt. But take the step of obedience. Do what God wants you to do. The areas of our life, let's walk with God. Let's consider what God wants us in our lives. Let's be involved in our church family. Let's see the importance and the priority of it. Let's be involved in the family of the body of Christ. Let's serve. Let's minister together. Let's pray for one another. Let's uphold. I love life groups. I love our church, and I love our church family. Make sure you're grounded in it.